Hello there. It is Tuesday, May the 17th. My name is Shauna Renee, and welcome to my podcast. Before I sat down to record this podcast, I was on Facebook kind of scrolling down my feed, and I happened to come across an article on theroot.com. Now, it was an article written by Aisha Callahan, who happens to be a friend of the Coco Mode brand. She was on Coco Mode a couple of times, and I consider her to be a friend, and or at least very least the acquaintance. I do know that she is a very smart woman, and I appreciate a lot of the work that she does for The Root. So I'm going to post a link to that article in the description of this podcast so you can see for yourself. But I want to just explain for a moment why this article caught my eye. So it all started with an Instagram photo that Aisha Curry posted. And Aisha Curry, of course, is the wife of Stephen Curry, who is a very popular basketball player. And the two of them have sort of created a brand of their own. I mean, they are being sort of held up as the perfect young Black couple, and they have these beautiful daughters, and a lot of people look up to them for that reason. And so Aisha Curry, who prior to maybe any of us really knowing much about her, was a food and lifestyle blogger. And so she has taken the opportunity, this opportunity that she's gotten because of the exposure that her husband is enjoying as a result of his basketball season, to expand her brand. And so in the picture, she posted a caption underneath. There was a caption that explained that she was working on a pop-up shop restaurant. And she was just letting everyone know that it was coming, and provided a link for anyone who was interested in supporting her venture. And the overwhelming majority of the comments underneath this picture were positive. Way to go. Hey, girl, I'd love to help you. Make it do what it do, boo. That kind of stuff. But as is always the case, you are going to find one or two people who need to be contrarians, who want to say something, you know, or maybe even if it's just to get us to think or talk about a different perspective. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt in that regard. But there was one woman who posted a comment under the picture, and I'm just going to kind of paraphrase it for you. I'll give you an opportunity to click on the Root link and read the whole thing for yourself. But to paraphrase, she said in response to Aisha's photograph, "How about inspiring women of ethnic minorities to pursue higher education?" She went on to write that women around the world should strive to be more than just, quote, great mothers and cooks, and went on to encourage Aisha to tailor her marketing to inspire the next generation of doctors, lawyers, professors, and public leaders. Now, Aisha responded to that comment, and again, you can read it if you click on the link. My response, however, to this, I wanted to share because I think that here we are in the 21st century, and we're having some really important conversations about femininity, about feminism, about womanism, about what it means to be a woman in this day and age, when you have an opportunity to do pretty much anything that you want to do. And this conversation is a little different maybe than the conversation that my parents were having back in the 60s and 70s. Because that movement happened, we as women now are in a position to decide or choose what we want to focus our attention on. And we also are in the very fortunate situation that we can change our minds dependent upon our situations and conditions. So a woman in her 20s who decides not to get married right away or have children right away can really focus her time and attention on becoming an entrepreneur. And she can choose what that means for her. If becoming an entrepreneur means that she's going to go to law school and start her own law firm, that's fine. If becoming an entrepreneur means that she is going to do whatever work is necessary for her to get the kind of education, knowledge, and experience she needs to start a nonprofit, then she can do that. If becoming an entrepreneur means that she's going to take her love for cooking or organizing or whatever the case may be and build a brand around that, she can do that. And she can do that up until the point where she decides that maybe she wants to get married and she wants to have children and she wants to spend her time and energy on that instead of either working for someone else or working for herself. Again, the whole point of feminism was to give women a choice. And it sometimes confuses and concerns me when I hear women who label themselves as feminist or start to borrow from sort of older feminist thought, say that the only way that you can be an independent woman or the only way that you can be of service to the feminist or womanist movement, more so the feminist than the womanist movement, but to be a service to the feminist movement is to deny or resist the role of mother and nurturer and homemaker. And I think that's a very dangerous direction for us to continue to move into, because we need to be those things. I mean, if you're going to have a child, then the care and well-being of that child, in my opinion, should be the top priority, but it has to at least be a priority. So to say that a woman who has made the decision to marry and to become a mother and to somehow build a brand or a company around the things that she has chosen to do in order to be the best mother and wife is a slap in the face to feminism or should be discouraged in place of encouraging women to be doctors and lawyers instead. I that doesn't sit well with me. And I think we have to expand a little bit our definition and our idea of what it means to be an independent woman, of what it means to be a useful woman, of what it means to be an intelligent woman, of what it means to be a well-balanced woman. So I just wanted to kind of bring that out. And I wanted to also sort of use that as a bridge to another conversation that I was having a couple of weeks ago. Now, my bae and I don't talk about him much, but we were sitting down watching one of the national news shows. And as you all know, I'm from Detroit. And by now you've heard all of the stories about Detroit, the good, the bad, the stories of crime and destruction and the stories of rebirth and revival. He is from Chicago. And I'm sure you've also heard all of the stories about Chicago, about the crime in Chicago, about police brutality in Chicago. And I'm sure you've probably seen a number of stories or television shows about all the wonderful things that take place in Chicago. But at this one particular night, we were sitting and we were watching a story about the crime and about what was going on in Chicago and how bad it was. And whenever you sit back and watch something like that, especially when you're watching it happen in a place that you call home, you start to ask yourself questions like, why? You know, when did this happen? Where did it go wrong? I certainly have done that many times, especially a few years ago when I was hearing those kinds of stories about what was happening in Detroit. And when you talk about crime, especially among young people, there are so many reasons why. I mean, we know that not having proper social programs is a large part of why young people are going astray. We know that not having proper education or access to certain kinds of resources that will direct young people in a better way, along a better way, is part of the reason why. We know that, you know, not having parents who are around or able or care enough to guide their children properly is the reason why. We know that the school to prison pipeline is a big reason why. We know that drugs and fatherlessness, all of these are reasons why. But as we were having this conversation, I kind of put on my hat as a holistic health advisor, practitioner, and advocate. And I started to think about an article that I read. Actually, it was a study that was done by the National Institute of Mental Health. And it was a study called The Teen Brain Still Under Construction. And in this study, they attempted to explain how a young person's brain develops. And it outlined the rate at which a young person's brain develops. And specifically, and I don't want to kind of get into the specifics of it again, I will link the article in the description of this podcast so you can go ahead and read it for yourself. But specifically about the ways in which the brain develops and how neurotransmitters connect and how certain areas of gray matter in the brain increase and decrease as a young person develops, and how all kinds of changes that occur through adolescence and our teenage years have an impact on the way young people behave. In the article, it discusses how hormonal changes that occur during adolescence shape sex-related growth, as well as like your social behavior, and how in that responses to stress can vary. It also talks about the research that suggests that brain-based changes during like adolescent years contributes to the tendency for teenagers to stay up late at night, to not sleep very well, and how sleep deprivation and fatigue contribute to depression, or at the very least irritability and increased impulsive behavior. And so when we talk about what's going on in these inner city communities, we're talking about a lack of impulse control. We know from research that parts of the brain that are involved in keeping emotional impulsive responses in check are still kind of reaching maturity as people grow from adolescent into their teenage years. And those kinds of changes kind of provide some clues into why young people have a tendency to act impulsively. So again, all of this, it's societal. It's, yeah, there's so many things going on externally, but it's also internal. And so why does this matter to me? And why did I start to think about this? Because as a holistic health practitioner, I realized that in order for the brain and any other system in the body to develop and mature properly, it needs the proper building blocks. We get those building blocks from the food that we eat. So when a woman and a man, I mean, this is not just a woman, but when a person decides that they are going to make feeding and nurturing their children a priority, and when a person decides that they are going to create a brand, or they are going to take advantage of their platform, if it happens to be a large platform in the case of Aisha Curry, and a somewhat smaller platform in my case, but they are going to take all of this notoriety and the attention that they're getting, and they're going to use this as a platform to encourage people to think about how feeding and nurturing our families properly will have a positive impact on our communities, then I can only celebrate and congratulate them for doing that, because that is part of the puzzle as well. That we can talk about social programs, we can talk about education, we can talk about fatherlessness and relationships, but we also have to talk about what we're feeding our children. We also have to talk about why allowing our children to leave the house without giving them a proper breakfast, why letting our teenager leave and go to the 7-Eleven and grab a cupcake and a soda before he goes to school is probably not the best choice if we are trying to encourage him to, or encourage her to learn, grow, develop, and create better impulse control so that they don't get into trouble or make bad decisions in life. Are you following me? Good. So in these podcasts, what I like to do is I like to give you what I call a Fab Five list, Fab Feminine Art of Balance Five list. And so these are, for me, the five things that I feed my children or my child right now in order for him to grow, to learn and absorb all of the information that he gets at school, and also in order for his brain to function in a way that he not only retains what he's learning, but allow all those neurotransmitters and that gray matter and area to form what is necessary for him to become the kind of young person that can practice better impulse control and hopefully, God willing, stay out of trouble. I make breakfast for my son every single day. I have to get up at 4:45, maybe sometimes 5:30, 6 o'clock at the latest in order to do so. But I do so every day. Every day my son goes to school having had a breakfast that was made by my hands. And the cornerstone of that breakfast is eggs. Love eggs. We eat lots and lots of eggs in this house. I spend the extra money to make sure that I buy organic, vegetarian, fed, free-ranged, certified, humane eggs. They cost a lot more. I'm not saying that you have to, but I am saying that you might want to consider that. Eggs are excellent in terms of helping concentration. I scramble my eggs, and he likes them scrambled with a little bit of salt and pepper, but you can make these wonderful like little egg souffles or baked egg muffins. You just put some eggs and some vegetable, maybe some meat in like a little muffin, you know, those little muffin bakers, and you put it in the oven, and then you take it out, you put them in the fridge, you put them in the freezer, prop them in the microwave or the toaster oven every morning, and they can go on their way. Super simple. I'll put one of the recipes up in the description of the podcast. Green leafy vegetables. Every single meal that I serve my child, at dinner, I should say, that I serve my child, comes with some kind of green leafy vegetable. Now, I don't necessarily cook the spinach. Sometimes it's just a salad, and we'll put some salad dressing on it to kind of make it a little more palatable. But, you know, green leafy vegetables are full of folate and vitamins and antioxidants, and all of these things help to stimulate brain cell growth. And those are the same, that is all that is necessary for one's brain to develop the way that it should and at the rate that it should, so that as a young person grows, they will have the ability, again, to learn, to retain, and to also control emotional and impulsive reactions. You can put spinach in smoothies with fruit and almond milk or coconut milk or whatever. I teach folks how to do all of this during my Feminine Art of Balance nutritional seminars and webinars and retreats, and I'll be doing some of those very soon. So make sure that, you know, you stay connected to me during social media or on my social media pages, and you can see that. But again, you can create smoothies, and that's a way to get especially young people to eat these things. And then once you kind of get young people, so you get your 7 and 8 and your 9 year old kind of used to tasting what real food tastes like, or used to the real taste of like fresh foods, you know, real blueberries, real strawberries, real spinach, real lettuce. Then as they become older, these things are more palatable for them, and then they start to crave them. And you'll find that, you know, a young person will say, okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and grab some eggs or grab one of these egg muffins and an apple and head out of the house. And they'll be more likely to do that than they will go into the 7-Eleven and grabbing God knows what and going to school with that on their stomach. Fish is so good when it talks about proper brain development. Vitamin D and omega-3s, they protect against a lot of declining mental skills. I mean, this is really important for those of you who might be concerned with memory loss. And I'm going to tell you, as an adult right now, and as the grandchild of someone who suffered and died from Alzheimer's, this is very important for me, but it is also important for my child, because I need to make sure that he has what is necessary to retain all all of this information that he is being fed at school, and not only at school, but retain all of the information that he's being fed at home. Because, you know, you want your child to have enough space for academics, but you also, if you're doing the right thing, you are also supplementing a lot of that at home. And so they need to have the ability to retain all of that information that you are teaching them at home about how to move through the world. And so, you know, we talk about fish, we talk about salmon, we talk about tuna, we talk about sardines. Now, it is important that you do all of that in moderation, because those fish tend to also have high levels of mercury and heavy metals, and you don't want to run into any kind of heavy metal and mercury poisoning from the overconsumption of salmon, tuna, and sardines. So just, again, be mindful of that. But there's so many ways that you can do that. I mean, one of my favorite ways to cook salmon is in the broiler. I mean, you put some great seasoning on it, some salt and pepper, a little bit of olive oil, put it in the broiler, cook it just right. We put it with some rice and some spinach, and it's so great. Oatmeal is wonderful. Oatmeal is, and I'm talking about like steel cut oatmeal. I'm talking about oatmeal that is as close to its natural source as possible, not instant oatmeal, not the stuff that you open in a bag and you put some water on. I'm talking about real oatmeal that, yes, takes some time to make. It's really, really good. Obviously, it's good for heart, it's good for cholesterol, but it's also very good for brain development. And the wonderful thing about oatmeal is that you can put so much in it and it makes it taste really good. You can put berries in it, you can put apples in it, you can put pears in it, you can put dried fruit in it. I mean, you know, if you're trying to get dairy, if you happen to eat dairy, oatmeal is a great place to put some milk. So oatmeal is a really good meal, and it sticks on your bones, and it will hold you and your children over until they're able to eat lunch. And that helps too, because, you know, sometimes, especially with high schoolers, they're in school, they eat a small breakfast, if they eat breakfast at all, and then around 10 o'clock, they get really hungry. And what do? They go straight for the vending machines in the cafeteria, and then they end up choosing chips, and then they end up choosing some kind of sugary drink. And then maybe they'll eat lunch, but certainly by 1 or 2 o'clock, they are completely gone. They've lost it. They've had that sugar crash. And, you know, it would just happen that that's the period that they have like chemistry or algebra or some subject that requires intense concentration. And then we wonder why they're not doing well in those classes. We wonder why they're frustrated, because they are not eating properly. And then finally, apples. I love apples. I buy these ginormous Honeycrisp apples that are available in our grocery store now. I don't know if it's because it's been unusually cold and wet throughout the country, but for whatever reason now, and this isn't generally the case in spring months, the apples are so good. I mean, these suckers are so big, like three of us eat off of one apple. And in the morning, like I said, my son eats scrambled eggs, he eats apples, and, you know, I'll give him an Eggo waffle, or he'll eat some kind of a dry cereal or something like that. And lunch, he eats apples. I eat apples first thing in the morning. I eat apples in the afternoon. They are also very, very good. So there are your five things. As we, as women and men, people who care about our families, understand that eating well is as important as any other external factor. Eggs, green leafy vegetables, fish, oatmeal, and apples. Five very simple things, easy to get at any grocery store, should be incorporated into your and your children's diet. Congratulations to Aisha Curry for all of the work that you are doing. Congratulations to all of the men and women, mothers, fathers, and grandparents who have made nutrition a priority, feeding your family a priority. Congratulations to all of those people who did not know until then, but today and tomorrow will begin to make these kinds of changes in the lives of the people that they care about. Together, we can do it. All right. So if you have any questions, you can email me. Email me at DJ Shauna Renee, DJ SHAWNARENEE at gmail.com. And I'll be answering your questions in another podcast. You can also Find me on Facebook, facebook.com/ShaunaRenee Show. You can search The Feminine Art of Balance on Facebook and find me there. I am at Ms. M.S. Shauna Renee on Twitter and Instagram. So there are so many ways to find me. Shout me out. Ask me a question. If you disagree with me, I'd love to build with you as well. Not saying I know everything. So I am open to learning even more. All right. So take care of yourselves. And, you know, most importantly, take care of each other. Until next week. Peace.